slave he used to own is now his brother. And I can remember the first time that Gino gave that incredible lesson. And I can remember the impact that that one little letter from St. Paul changed so many people in the church. From a selfish motivation to acknowledging that if it wasn't for God, where would you be? If it wasn't for his salvation, where would you be? And because, again, this man had slaves, and now that slave talks with Paul, gets born again, and Paul writes the letter to him and says, you know, wake up here. You know, you owe me your life. So now the man that you can't stand, that probably robbed from you, there she is. Hallelujah. And Samantha's there. Praise the Lord. The experts have achieved their goal. Look at this. Huh? Yeah, Gail clapped. Oh, yeah, she heard every word.
Yep, I did.
You know, you're looking at the Lord operating with a man and a woman that, you know, you see the changes that happen when they obey the Holy Spirit. Paul, of course, is not afraid to tell him, look, if he owes you anything, okay, put it on my account. I'll pay you when I see you. Well, now, you know, I can tell you truthfully that that word changed many people at the church when that message was given. Because the following week, I got the phone calls. See? They wouldn't call Gino, but they'd call the prayer line. And they would say, oh boy, that message irritated me, but God wouldn't leave me alone. In other words, they had the grace to carry out what they needed to do, and they did it in obedience to the Lord and changed their hearts. So I was watching God at work. And I can remember, I wanted to go and tell Gino, middle of the week or whatever. I don't remember all the details. And I heard, you keep out of this. See, you can get happy about what God has done and ruin it. Because then the other one gets a swelled head. That's not what you want. Okay? They probably got enough problems with a swelled head. They don't need you to add to it.
That's right.
So there were times the Lord's going to tell you, shut up. And that was exciting for me because I was watching what the active word of God out of one little letter. I mean, it's not a long letter. It's just one page, okay, on most Bibles. But the impact of that word and what it did to the people, I can recall saying to the Lord, wow, look what you have done. Look what you have done. And the Holy Ghost was sneaky this morning. He pointed out that next week is Friday, is Father's Day. And he said to me, I want you to start celebrating all the fathers that I gave you. Oh. Well, there were some that were quite flawed, okay? Well,
from my perspective,
it's only my perspective because they're not around to defend themselves anymore. But God was in the middle of it, all right? And of course, my biological father didn't want another kid. I mean, that's obvious. And but I came along anyway. And when I did, they made arrangements to give me away. So obviously, That gives you a picture of the heart and the abilities of these two people. Not that I believe my mother ever wanted to give me away, but there were 20 other kids, okay? And they all required lots and lots. And of course, you know, this new arrival was not planned. I mean, you know, they have that movie, Unplanned. Well, I qualify. I was not part of their plan. I think, you know, in fact, from what I was told by my sister, my older sister, I was named after my great uncle, who was a Roman Catholic priest, and his name was Elijah. Well, my mother went to visit him. Maybe usually she would go back to her hometown, because where I was born was maybe, I don't know, an hour and a half, 2 hours of train ride, plus the buggy ride and so on and so forth. And so she went back to the family home in the early spring, I believe. And she told her uncle, which she confided in him, that she was pregnant. And he laughed. And she felt insulted because he didn't believe it. So in September, he came to visit at the farm where I was born. And of course, by this time, her body showed the details. And she was suffering because she had varicose veins and, you know, she carried many. So obviously I was the unexpected one. And he apologized to her for not believing her. But the wound still happened. See, you don't realize what God is doing when he's working in you even before you come out of the womb. Okay? There's work being done in you as you are coming into this realm and being constructed and coordinated by the Holy Ghost to make you into what he wants. Okay? Because again, that written book is not just about now. It was even before you were born. Okay? So everything that happens has an impact. And some of it is godly and some of it is demonic. Because let's face it, the prince of this world, certainly not Jesus. Okay? And I came into this realm under that anointing. So again, looking at all this, and I said, Lord, and he said, now I want you to write some of the names down. So I did. And as I did, my half-brother is the one they gave me to. But I was given a name, believe it or not, in September, and I wasn't born till November. So figure that one out. And I believe they must have had a boy and a girl's name, but anyway, I'm the boy, so here I am. But the bottom line that I'm looking at is the struggle they went through. Okay? The struggle that they experienced. Most children don't take time to think about that because we're focused on me, myself, and I. We're not focused on what God is, let's say, ultimately going to do with you. But if you get Papa God's picture and he's looking at you and me with a composite of the book that is written, he's not looking at you with the incomplete corner that you're in right now or the missing links that are still going to be put down into you later on by other spiritual fathers. And that's what he was picking on me on. He's Lord, you know, he says, look at how many fathers I gave you. So, you know, I listed them and I'm not sensing I need to go there. What I was looking at is, wow. And how each spiritual father, which the one that gave up his freedom was my half brother. And when he lost his mother, he was two. And they tried to give him away. Well, the orchestration of him experiencing a giving away situation gave him a heart to take me in. See, And I can see that now. But do you think I saw it at the time? No way. It was everything Daddy's fault. You know, every crash that I went through, of course it wasn't my fault. It was my father's fault. And if I could blame my mother, but she would defend herself. But my father wouldn't. My father was the type of person who, well, I don't know about your family, but my father would open up more if he had a couple of beers.
Yeah.
Okay? And that would liberate him from whatever pressure that he was under, and he would open up a little more. Okay? And I would have a hard time because I didn't like when he was drinking. It bothered me. He wasn't an alcoholic at the time when I was growing up, but I could see the difference in character. I could see the adjustments that were being made in how he was acting and reacting. And I could also see the fear of the control tactics that mom would use, you know, because it was visible. And even as a kid, you're not blind. You can see, but your goal is, how do I protect me? How do I survive, right? So, you know, when the Holy Spirit came into me and these new spiritual fathers came into my life, that was very different. Because, you know, you all have a little box that you put your father in, and you have a little box that you put your mother in. Amen? Yeah. Well, he began to break that box. He began to take that box apart and get rid of it so that I could see that, you know, I was able to receive by impartation, because by then Holy Spirit's inside. Okay. As far as in my Roman Catholic experience, I had quite a few priests that had an impact on me, but not in a father figure. They may have been called fathers, you know, but to impart love flow, no. Legalistic type of formulas that they operated under, I don't think allowed them. I mean, I could say maybe Father Diorio had a father heart. Father Paul, the one that anointed me, and I had the Holy Spirit come into me at that time. He had an impact on me. But again, it wasn't personal, you see. But a father figure is going to be personal. So the first one that really, I guess, broke down some of the old box that I was in, it was Gino. I can remember, of all things, Samantha's on there, and I hope she's listening. The very first thing that God did when we met one-to-one was he said, I'll put my assistant pastor in charge of you for your basic training. And so that was established. And but to say that the relationship with the assistant pastor was a father figure, no, he was younger. You know, so the father figure wasn't there. Gino was a little bit older than me, but the father's heart was in him. Okay. And I can remember having an appointment with him, wanted to know how my progress was going. And so I sat down in his office and told him that I had just needed prayer because I was going through a big, big test. We got sued by the state of Massachusetts, and you can state, you just eventually they're gonna win. They got all the apples on their side. I could have tried, but it was my word against their word, my coordinates that my Christian accountant did. And obviously now we owe $10,000 plus tax, plus interest. And, huh? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But that's, well, that's another story. And if I go there, we're going to be in trouble. Because it's a long story. And it was a major, major miracle in my life. Okay. But eventually, we didn't pay any interest. And we didn't pay any penalties either. No. But it meant a lot of hard work that came by God. And when I had that appointment with him, I said to him as I'm ready to leave the office, I said, well, now I know that this coming week, it was the beginning of July, that I had put enough money away and I was expecting to get paid for another job that I was doing, that I was going to be able to pay the last payment on this state tax business. And I was going to meet with the person. And Gino looks at me and says, well, why didn't you tell me about this before? And I said, there was no press to tell you. You know, even at that point, you know, I was aware that the Lord was directing everything I did. And so he says, well, believe it or not, he says, instead of buying a baby grand piano, I would have given you the money. And I flopped back into my chair. I mean, that had never, never entered my mind that he would consider giving me that kind of money. Okay. He said, you could have paid it off earlier. And it took me by surprise. Okay. And I looked at him and I said, Pastor, it wasn't you that was supposed to do that. It was the Lord that needed to do it. I needed to learn the lesson. I'm glad you got the piano, you know, and all that good stuff. And of course, Sammy saw the piano. What, last week? Coming down from heaven. So, you know, these pieces of the puzzle, this happened in 1983. You know, it's, no, yeah, 83. July. So, you see, Holy Spirit's not tied down for a couple of years. Holy Spirit is operating in you and me every single day, but what happened 30 years ago is still relevant. Okay? And he was showing me, look what I supplied with the kind of father that this man had that your other fathers did not have. Okay? Oh, Lord. I'm seeing a vision and I just pray in the spirit right now. Father, I don't know what kind of message you're building right now, but I just aki barasi orosha asandar riakile ke aroba sarata. The vision that I see is my half-brother, who was a controller, very wealthy, and very wealthy in his area, okay? Probably more so than most of the other half-brothers and full-brothers that I've had. And about 5 years before my biological father died, they decided that they were going to give some of the family members. Now, there's 21 kids. They had sold the farm, sold his businesses. He had three businesses, sold everything and accumulated quite a bit. And of course, now the one that is older and in charge decides that he's going to give every single child X amount of money, except those that they had lent money to that didn't deserve it. So they had lent money to some, and some had wasted it. There was jealousy in between the brothers and sisters, some who got, some who didn't. And the end result, my biological father gave me $1,000. Well, that's a lot of money at that time. Today, $1,000, they don't look at it. It's almost like it's, you know, it's nothing. But at that time, it was quite a gift. But my half-brother who brought me up didn't get a nickel because he didn't behave according to the rules. And it was his older brother that was in charge. So he knew everything about my dad, the one that brought me up. So we're driving home from Canada, picked up the check. My dad and my mom and myself, my wife and kids, I don't remember if they were part of it or not, because this goes way back. I was in business at the time. So I said, because I was hurt that they would not give them for bringing me up at least $1,000. All right. So we're driving through Vermont. That's the vision I got. That's what I saw. And I said to my dad, Paul, I said, Dad, I'd love to sue the pants off of them for every penny that they have. He says, what do you mean? I said, they would deserve to be sued because they never gave me up. I was never legally adopted. So Paul and Amelia could sue them for whatever amount of money they could for bringing me up and paying for everything for me for 40 years. Because I'm at that time, I'm 30 something. Okay. And I can remember both of them saying, no way. Well, see, that relates to Paul's letter, which I didn't realize now, about saying, you know, the bill's not important. All right? And so my mom started to cry. She said, we didn't take you in to get paid. Dad's crying. He said, you know, that should not be in your heart. Okay? So these were the people that brought me up. The father, loving compassion to the biological father for both Paul and me, different women, but same father, said, you know, just because they don't love you enough or love me enough doesn't mean that we don't love you sufficiently. That we don't need to get paid. They can keep their money. And my father got angry and he says, I never want to hear those words from you. He said, because we paid the bills and we would continue to pay the bills because we love you. They had a lack, whatever lack it was, but it was designed by God. And this letter, I guess we're going to go there. So let's go there. Father, let this word come alive in them today like it did with me. Because your purpose and your plan is so much bigger than us. And, you know, Holy Spirit, Philemon, it's right just before Hebrews. It's after the letter to Titus. Like I said, it's just a short little word. But it's showing you the fatherhood in the heart of Paul. Even though he never had children, he had spiritual sons that had value. And I'm trying to say to all of you, I have had fathers that had value, incredible value. So I want you to kind of look at, you can read the beginning of it on your own. But verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, or I believe that's it's his name, but I believe it also means the first one. So, who became my son while I was in chains. So he wasn't his physical son, but he became his son. Formerly, he was useless to you. And that's kind of showing you the character that Philemon was. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful to both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart. Now, I mean, that is telling you the level of love that is between this ex-slave and Paul. Okay? I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. Okay? So that tells you why he's in prison. But I did not want to do anything without your consent. See the lack of control there? He's appealing to the owner of this ex-slave, because he's no longer a slave, undoubtedly, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Again, no control, all right? No forcing of the issues here. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave. There's the hidden little piece there. Isn't that cool? No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a clear brother. Or as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you. So he's prophesying. Okay? Both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong. Some slaves were not exactly sweet, okay? And they could have been stealing from the owner multiples of levels, all right? If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. In other words, Paul is being more than a father here. He's being a redeemer. Amen? I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. Ouch. Got it? See, the character of a person is visible in a crisis. And when there is a pressure tactic that's being pressured on you, you can see how you want to justify your emotions or justify how you act or should act. So again, Paul is really tightening up the screws on this guy. And it's very clear. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ, confident of your obedience. So there again, he's prophesying. I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Wow. Got it? And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Get a clue. I mean, I'm not Gino, so I can't give you what he gave that Sunday. But his father's heart had impacted me, and I could relate to this. I took this home to the bank, and I said, Lord, with many of the people that were on the prayer line, with different aspects of whatever hit them, okay? Because there's quite a few corners here. If you really look at it, you can see Paul is not a manipulator, but he's trying to get this guy to open up, trying to get his eyes open and his ears open and his heart open, okay? And to motivate him, whether he likes it or not. See, sometimes your father will do something for you that nobody knows, except maybe later on. Because a good father doesn't always want his kids to see what he's up to. Okay? You're going to see the result when you get older. And later on, you'll understand. When you get old enough to have your own kids or your own experiences, and you awaken to the truth. Because, and I'm not picking on women now, but women are usually more emotional and their stability is in the moment. They can react quickly and they can make things happen. And that's what mothers are for. They are built by God to take care of the children for whatever crisis happens. And their emotions and their feelings literally jump right up and they instantly take care of the problem. Get it? Fathers that have a heart will look at the situation, kind of digest what's going on. And then in my case, now that I have the Holy Spirit, I'll ask, is there anything I'm supposed to do right now, Lord? Okay? And I'll wait rather than jump in and fix the problem. Because sometimes if I fix the problem, I actually will hurt my son. Okay? Or damage them further and deeper. So I have to wait so that now, even before I knew the Holy Spirit, I could tell that my wife would react a certain way and I would sit back and pull back. And I'd wait. Sometimes 3 or 4 days later, then I would take one of the boys, whatever one got in trouble. And usually it was the older one that was a little more, let's say, bold in his behavior. And I would take him one-to-one without all the emotional yelling and screaming and saying, you know, maybe if you adjusted this in this corner, it would be smoother for you down the road. Okay? And that's the way that I was brought up by my father, and that's the way that I brought them up. It may not have been perfect, but I did the best. Just like every father who is broken is going to be what? Having broken sons and broken daughters. So broken people can only do what they're capable of doing at the time. But this letter says Paul, you know, he's in a situation where he's being prepared to speak to the top man in the world of that day. Okay? I believe even these experiences of these letters that he's pushing out there shows you that the kind of heart that he had was able to change the household of Caesar. Okay. See, you see his heart here. Clear. So clear that it's impossible not to get a clue why God put him in that prison. You know, verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. In other words, he knows the Lord is the one that put him there. And Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. So it gives you a clue here. You know, what's really happening? So to come back to the things that God does in us to change us and impact our world, it's because he's written things down that he's expecting from us to learn from the different fathers that you've had. Okay? And again, he may not call himself a father to you, but he'll be a father figure to you. And some you'll learn what not to do. Okay? You don't want to duplicate the error that some of these fathers that have been in your life have gone through because of their brokenness, but to realize that they did the best they could with what they knew. And if they did, there could be other areas of their life that you got impacted with because of their obedience to the Lord. And that's in male and female, because there are some spiritual women in my past that had a major impact in my life. And I'm not disqualifying women, but God was pushing my buttons about Father's Day, you know. And that's, I believe, as you're going forth in this week, begin to realize that the fathers that you've had, whether flawed or broken or whatever the terms that you want to use, the ultimate goal is to see Holy Spirit take you through and not to duplicate the mistakes that you see or was done to you, but to pick up the pieces in your life and to be a father figure to those that are younger than you that need you, even if you've never had children. Paul never had children, but he had a lot of spiritual sons. Is he preparing you to have more spiritual sons? I pray the answer is yes. Okay? Because again, you don't know who you're going to influence unless you have a heart to show them and give them a picture of the Father's love that created us. Because that's the ultimate goal. They'll see Christ and the anointed Father in you, the hope of glory. That's, to me, the bottom line. And remember, they didn't understand what they were experiencing, I believe, like Paul. Did he fully comprehend why he was there while he was in the midst of it? I don't think so, because, you know, he's having such a hard time because he was the type of person that was out there, and now he's confined to one little house. Yeah. Asaha shehera sarata ishekiata. Hala bakiera tihata. Say, Father, I'm grateful.
Father, I am grateful.
For all the spiritual fathers.
For all the spiritual fathers.
And the natural dads.
The natural dads.
Who gave me what they had.
But more than anything else,
their flaws,
their pain,
their experiences, I ask you to heal them even now,
wherever they may be.
If they're in the heavens,
let
the flow of love
from me
touch them today,
because it's Father's Day week.
And we're going to celebrate all the fathers in our lives.
More than anyone else,
our Creator, Father of all,
who
did all this through Christ Jesus. And he poured into me
his
Holy Spirit
to guide me,
counsel me,
comfort me,
and dramatically change me
from
what I was
to what he needs me to be.
And that's an ambassador for heaven. While I'm in this realm. And to bring heaven down. Heaven's love flow. Flow through me. To touch the children. That you've prepared for me to help.
Prepared for me.
On their way to sonship. Male or female. It doesn't matter. They're still going to be sons of God.
Still going to be sons of God.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.